Welcome to the RCCF podcast. I'm Phil Forrester, owner of Rock City Complete Fitness, the home of Rock City CrossFit. And once again, today we've got Nick Holder and Lori Webb. Lori is a coach here at Rock City CrossFit, and Nick is what? Just our, what's Nick?
I'm the resident cheerleader.
Here's the cheerleader. He's our hype man.
Hype man.
Yeah, he's the hype man.
I mean, I have history as a cheerleader, but
yeah.
We'll
when you see the lead singer
mascot.
Mm-hmm. When you see the lead singer on stage, he's the guy jumping up and down next to him.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping him hype.
Keeping him hype.
Not talented to be the front man, but just talented enough to be behind him.
Right.
He's probably the best non-certified coach.
Probably. Yeah, we try to keep talking Nick into get his level one, and he refuses because he doesn't want the responsibility.
Yes, something like that. This is my detox. I don't want it to be work.
There you go.
But I'm like an L4.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yes. I would agree.
In his mind, he is an L4. All right. So today we're going to debrief 24.2 and then transition into 24.3. So any takeaways, Lori, from 24.2?
I think everybody did well. We didn't have any injuries, anything like that. I know that was a concern right out the gate that as we get fatigued, it would play a role in our back. All of our athletes did great. I think everybody did really good of pacing until they needed to push, and then they did. So I think overall it was well. For me, it was fine. I executed my plan per usual. So
wow.
Maybe
I
not.
I will say, during her last row, which she got into one deadlift, it was like the last minute, maybe 45 seconds. She's on the rower. I'm yelling at her to see God, go as right. hard as you can go. She almost stops rowing, looks at me, goes, I want to quit. And I'm like, and then Lane Stafford is like, we don't quit. And it was the most random, like at that point of the workout, like you're there.
Yeah.
And she was almost to her point of,
I'm done. Yes.
And because I was yelling at her to get that one deadlift. I knew getting off the rower and getting to the deadlift would just be huge reps.
Yeah. Did it matter in the ranking, you think?
I didn't look.
Okay.
So
I mean, she had a good score, but.
That's fine.
Sure. Yeah. And where are you sitting right now, percentile-wise?
I haven't looked.
I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. Nick, talk to me about 24.2.
It was good. It was the first one that in a long time for a 20-minute workout that I felt like I executed perfectly. I didn't have any regrets. I didn't think I could do much better. I thought there was potential of I tripped up on my dubs once and then I broke intentionally. Other than that, I stayed unbroken on all dubs, broke 6.4 on deadlifts and kept my row pace exactly where I wanted to keep it and got 8 full rounds, which was pretty big. And I finished my 50 dubs unbroken at the end within like a second of the time cap. And so historically, I'm not known for the 20-minute workout. I either come out too hot or I just don't know how to pace it properly to where I have the stamina to get through it at the past the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
And overall, and I think a lot of people said the last 5 minutes of that workout were the worst. And I was able to do things like stay unbroken on dubs under that major, like, mental – like, I wanted to break. I remember when she was counting, like, 30, I'm thinking, I want to stop now and just get a quick little break and then do 20.
Because you're thoroughly justified to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I just was like, no, just get to 35, and then you can just, you know, then you're there. And just your shoulders are burning and just your lungs are burning. And so, because I broke, I think, intentionally on the sixth round, 30-20, without just tripping, just broke intentionally, and then I was able to go the seventh and eighth unbroken. I think that one little break even helped me do that in the seventh and eighth.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about redoing. People are like, oh, you and I'm good, I'm content, and I was happy and checked it off the list. And I think that was a great example of what CrossFit has tried to do this year. So many people outside of not having dubs could RX it. The weights weren't intimidating. The row wasn't too long of a row, and just I think mentally it allowed a lot of people to say, I can do this.
Well, and it also differentiated in the CrossFit community those that have dubs and those that don't.
Yes.
And you can see the folks who sort of have them, but in the workout or the WOD, they'll abandon them mm-hmm. when it's not going well, and they'll just mm-hmm. convert to singles. And I'll be the first to confess that that would be me.
Right.
I'm in that category. I have double unders. I can do them,
right.
but I can't do them under fatigue.
And then the frustration, you don't want to do them in right. a workout because you want the intensity.
Workout.
You want to keep going. You want to hit that time right. domain and just move on.
Yeah, I want my workout for the day. I don't want to throw right. my rope across the floor when I can't do it.
So what do you think prevents people from trying to work on those in the class setting?
Well, I think this example is the catalyst for those that would care about their open performance to now work on them. Because while you will say in your head, I can do dubs, I got dubs. And then you're in a workout like this. Now, I think, was it last year, 2 years ago, where they had 35 double unders mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. like, right? The 35 in my head, that was fine. Like I could do 35.
Right.
And it wasn't shooting for 8 rounds or 7 rounds of 50, right? So it was a significantly bigger volume of work, mm-hmm. which exposed those that kind of had double mm-hmm. unders. So from this year to next year, or in going into the off season, this, to me, for those that struggled, could be the reminder, man, you've got to do some dubs under fatigue. Mm-hmm. You've got to be willing in a workout to just gut it out and mm-hmm. do the best you can and work on them. Because absent that effort, mm-hmm. you're not going to suddenly find them at the open and be great at yeah. them. Because it's going to be frustrating.
No, and that's, you know, I remember when I first learned, I actually got ring muscle up before I got dubs.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to come into the gym and work on jump rope. Mm-hmm. I'd never jumped rope. You know, I never done even singles. And I was like, this is silly.
Right.
But I remember the CrossFit Open workout that started with 7 ring muscle ups, 50 wall balls, and 100 dubs. It took me over 9 minutes to do 100 dubs. I was one of the few in the box that could do a ring muscle up, but I didn't really have my dubs. So I could RX it, got past the first 7 muscle ups. But I had spent, and I was like, and after that, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm hearing people do 100 dubs in less than 2 minutes,
yeah.
you know, unbroken, and which I can do now. It's just at the time, I was like, this, I was having to do single, double across the gym floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and I think a lot of that comes back to what we talked about last week, too, is what is your individual goal?
Mm-hmm.
So in the workout, and even break that down daily in your daily workouts, like when you're looking at one, like, what's my goal for this specific workout? Okay, it's not going to be to go fast. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but today it's not. Today I'm going to work on my dubs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yep. in that section, you know, each section of every workout, I feel like our athletes could do that. And I think our coaches are really good at suggesting that as well. And depending on the time and, you know, your season of life, it's going to be a little different. Maybe it is just stress relief. So I'm going to abandon the dubs. I'm going to come in and sweat and go on with my day. Or maybe they have a goal now for next year, like you said. So I think we can break it down.
Well, I think Lane Stafford's a good example of that in mm-hmm. that he typically will skip some of the double under workouts because he wants the workout. Mm-hmm. But this year he was determined to RX, and he's RX'd every one of mm-hmm. the open workouts. And he couldn't really get them before, but he was able to get them during the workout under fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't kill himself on the row. He broke his deads because he wanted to focus on those double under sets under fatigue. And he ended up hitting PR sets of max, you know, 17, 18 unbroken, which he'd never done in that. And so that's going to give him a lot of confidence to when he has to do now, let's say there's a workout with 25. Mm-hmm. versus 50.
Right.
He's like, I can do this. And maybe he starts hitting 25 unbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that to me is the commitment. I think, Laura, you said it. If I'm the athlete coming in and I'm looking at the workout and now knowing what occurred in the open, I think there's an incentive. I'm thinking, I'll just use myself as the example. Now I'm going to look at it a little differently and say, okay, what would it take for me to do doubles the whole time
mm-hmm.
and mindset wise, rep wise mm-hmm. with what are the other movements in the workout that's included in that? Do I need to modify those
correct.
In exchange for focusing on the mm-hmm. dubs, which would still give me a workout? I mean,
correct.
It's not like I'm not going to get a workout, mm-hmm. but it may change the strategy. I think jump rope is a throwaway in a lot of workouts, just cardio. I just do some jump rope. I'm
yep.
like, okay. And maybe I'll just do jumping jacks then or something.
Yeah, line jumps. Or,
right.
Now, what I've noticed is I've seen through some of the Facebook groups, athletes are asking, what's jump rope should I get?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like they're really focusing yeah. on, and that's mm-hmm. really a game changer. I would say a jump rope that's ideal for dubs is something to focus on because you're not going to want to use a heavier rope that you might use singles. So seeing members and athletes start thinking about what equipment they need to get better, that's a good sign too.
Yeah, it was good. I think overall it was a good workout. I think everyone learned kind of where they were. And the scores reflected. You either had dubs or you didn't.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You it was dubs, definitely a double under workout.
You scored well. If you didn't have dubs, you did not score well. So good dub. Okay, so let's transition now into 24.3. We are 2 days into that. So we're recording this on Saturday morning. Has anybody here done it yet?
We did. She did it Thursday
Nick
night.
Nick hasn't done it yet?
I did it yesterday.
You did. Okay. So, Lori, let's talk about your Thursday night throwdown. You were.
Yeah.
You stepped up for your team in our Thursday night throwdown.
I did.
How'd it go?
Yes. It was fine. I mean, it was good. It was great to have everybody cheer me on, and it was nice. A lot of great compliments from all the athletes, so that was nice.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because we have a large community, and a lot of that community is in do boot camp classes, and they don't really ever get to see the coaches work out because a lot of times coaches work out in off times during the day by themselves. And I think it was fun to watch you just kill it, right? And just shine. And
she went full peacock, as they call it. She messes me that that's like, I love the spotlight. We go, are you going to go peacock today? She got to go full peacock.
Yeah.
And it was cool because that was a perfect workout for her to shine in.
Well, and a lot of your athletes got to watch you work, and they don't always get to do that. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it was cool to hear them. Like, I could, you know, sometimes in a workout you can't hear. Like, I never really work out with the music on because I always say I don't really hear it anyway. but when someone's yelling your own name, you always hear that. So it was awesome. I mean, I'm...
And you got to face them when you're doing thrusters and see.
Yes.
You know,
The
faces of everybody screaming or cheering you on or painting a bag and he looking at you, feeling your pain for you.
And I'm thinking, man, I probably have the worst face, but it's all right. Everybody was so sweet, and so I appreciate that. Yes.
And I will brag on her. It was probably one of the first workouts, at least this year, that I've seen her go to a spot where she doesn't usually like to go. Like, for her to almost finish that workout was extremely impressive. And for her to do some of the reps she did late, and I was sitting there yelling at her, and for her to almost respond to my yelling, which she, like, usually she...
Tells you to go away.
Yes. Or she's like Rusty. Rusty, you can yell at in his face, I need you to pick up the bar, and he will just stare at you and go, no.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you do realize you do the same thing.
Someone. Well, I like the people who, like, count me down. Like, I'm trying to get better at listening to those cues to stay moving. But, yes, everybody at some point, you go.
So before you start judging, let's just make sure. Hello, pot. This is kettle.
Yes. Well, I do respond a little bit better maybe than Rusty. I'll compare Rusty.
It's fine. I know.
But it was just for her to go and, I think, get probably a critical 8 or 9 reps there at the end that were super big on the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. How many muscle-ups did you get at the end? Was it 2?
2 out of the...
Yeah. So you were 5 short?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was impressive. She, so far, in our gym, is the furthest of that workout.
Yeah.
Monk got into the 4th round muscle-ups, and Caroline got into the 4th round thrusters. And other than that, and then we had a buddy, Justin Round, come in yesterday and got to finish it. Yeah. We got to watch him finish it. That was pretty, to see someone finish it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So where'd you land?
I landed into the 2nd round muscle ups.
Okay.
You know, something I've been struggling with is doing muscle ups under fatigue when I've done a lot of pulling or something before it. Like in the previous opens where there's been like round 1 pull-ups, round 2 chest of bars, round 3 muscle-ups. I have muscle-ups. I'm fairly good at them when I'm on the front, when they're on the front side. Mm-hmm. And so I like get fatigued. And then because I don't think I do the proper push-down and I'm using a lot of my bigger muscles and pulling, I can't do them. And I freak out mentally. So this was a good one for me to test mentally to see how I've overcome. I've been trying to work on a lot of singles and not link muscle up. So when you get to this point, you can do singles under fatigue and just stay moving. And so I kind of stuck to that plan. I started with a double. They felt like crap. And I was immediately going, oh boy.
Yeah.
And Rusty has seen me in open workouts before when I get that point, and then I immediately start failing them, all hell breaks loose. Like mentally, I just cannot commit. But this time I hit the double. Then I rested probably a little too much, and I started hitting singles, and they were like clockwork. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to definitely redo it. And I did all singles on chest to bars. I was the guinea pig. We had done some strategies of trying to stay moving on that movement by doing singles. And I actually think it worked fairly well. I think if I redo it, I'm going to go for, I'm good at butterfly, and just maybe test my fitness and try to gain time and basically try to get to that tie break faster to allow more time for muscle ups. Okay. I want to get into the third round. And so there's, if I was going to tell any athlete who doesn't have muscle ups very well or wants to get one or two, you have to pace the first part so much. You cannot try to go too fast. Again, I went 6'4 thrusters, single chest to bars, and had a tie break time of 7:40. So there's a way to dissect it to where you just have to stay moving. And it wasn't like a conversation pace because I was still the wind of the doing the chest bars, but my heart rate was not nearly as spiked as linking them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to think about the muscle ups, and now that I know what they feel like under that fatigue, I'm willing to attack it different ways. And I think the 135 thruster, those first seven, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
But the first round, I guess that would be my advice, not to jump in on you, but the first round, it feels great. So,
yes.
So calm down. Like, are they not all going to feel that way? Yeah. Don't peacock too much. Like, it's not going to be as easy. But, I mean, that's kind of CrossFit in general. Like, that first round always kind of tricks us.
It reminds me of the 21s on the dumbbell snatch burpees. Like, you want it, like, when you're, first time you grab that dumbbell, you're ready to crank them out.
Yeah.
But if you slowed that 21 down, you could make it up in the later rounds.
In the nine, yeah.
Because even Justin Rowden, he went unbroken thrusters and then did 6'4 chest to bars in the first part. And he said when he got to the third and fourth round, he was thinking, I might want to break 6'4 already.
Yes.
And he's extremely a good athlete, and 95 pounds is really nothing for him. Mm-hmm. It's just the way he was treating it like an EMOM, and he was getting there in basically a minute around, and it starts the magnification of it, and it's basically like Fran.
Right.
With chest to bars, you're doing five more reps than Fran, and you're doing chest to bars. The rep scheme is way better than Fran, but you cannot even think about going at a Fran pace, which is like 3 or 4 minutes. But some of these elite impressively are.
So let's take it to the scaled version. I thought it was interesting in the scaled that they did the jumping chest to bar into the chin up or regular chin over bar pull-ups. And it gave people an interesting decision of whether to go foundations versus scaled, because we've done jumping pull-ups, but not jumping chest to bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really tested people. And I think as they were looking at it, they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, I do jumping pull-ups, and then you add chest to bar to it.
It's different.
And we had people just going, wow, this is way harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it kind of shed some light on that, just like double unders the week prior.
Right.
Then they're going, ooh, maybe I should be working on these.
Right.
Maybe I should be giving a little bit more effort, going a little higher. Yeah.
I still love when people go, wait, my chest has to touch?
Right.
Like, they don't, they just think get up there or... it. Close. Right. No, it's chest to bar has to touch
every time,
and it's very easy to not have it touch.
Yeah.
As much as you try and get up there, you can get probably high enough. And I was even trying to work with Brian Hansen. You know, there's a little angle that you can do where you, instead of pulling straight up, you kind of pull into it and you come kind of underneath it and let your head go back, and it takes less energy and you hit your chest.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying, because he's trying to go vertical and it's technically longer distance.
Right.
And so just little things that you can work on as you progress into that movement. And so they did, that was scaled.
Scaled was jumping chest to bar
into
regular pull-ups.
Just regular pull-ups
standing off something, no jumping, just regular kipping pull-ups.
Mm-hmm. And what was Masters?
So Masters is pull-ups, regular pull-ups, and then regular chest bars.
I think...
Paul and I are doing that today. Paul Rivera hasn't done it yet. I haven't done it yet, so that's
our... It's going to go well. Y'all are going to do good.
I don't know.
You know...
It was all legs. What I felt was all legs. I still feel my legs.
So you going to go singles?
I'm definitely going to go singles on the chest bar.
So
the pull-ups I'll probably do 4-3-3 or something like
that. Yeah, I like that.
Just to keep it moving.
Because
three kipping pull-ups together is about where I like... If I go to five, push into five, it just starts, I start resting more.
Right.
So
the only thing I noticed about doing the single chest to bars when it was my forearms, because I'm kind of doing the kip, right? And just single drop, Whereas when I do butterfly, it's more a little more bicep driven, which I don't know really which one I want to have more pain for the muscle up. But it's, so it's kind of a give and take. But I just, the time under tension was not there, but it was just like a weird feeling on the singles.
Yeah.
And then they get annoying.
Right.
Four, five. I was like, Jesus, Rusty, can you like count? I need to go a little faster. And I was trying to watch the clock because we had tested it, and it was like 3 seconds a rep.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, 30 seconds plus some transition, 35. Well, I could time Lori going 6'4". She's 25 seconds maybe.
Right.
So what am I gaining by doing them? That was my – I was the kind of the guinea pig to try to test that. Monk got into the fourth round doing singles.
Yeah.
So there is – it's one of those beautiful workouts that you can dissect 10 different ways and get to a different results.
Well, you can play to your strengths.
Right.
And I think you have to have a plan and strategize this one more than any of the others we've done. Mm-hmm. If someone comes out and goes, oh, I can link 10 chest to bars, that is the wrong play.
There's no point in it.
There's no point.
Yeah.
Well, unless
you're trying to finish it.
Butterfly pull up chest to bar that is effortless. It's like 10 is doing two.
Well, but if you don't know you can finish it, I don't think you'd ever should do 10.
Right.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin Rowden finished it going 6'4 on everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then he went 4'3 muscle ups and he finished it.
Yeah.
So, granted, he knows he's not a 10-minute athlete.
Okay.
Those are the guys doing unbroken probably. Right. So I think it's one of those that you need to pump the brakes on your skill.
Right.
Lori, I think, is a great example.
Right.
There is no way, respectfully to her, that if she does 10 unbroken chest to bars the first round that she could do for five rounds, she does not get as far as she does in the second part.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Her heart rate was down. She attacked that 95-pound barbell immediately after the minute. And I think there's things that you do that will hurt you if you do that.
Well, and what you don't account for is I do 10 unbroken, and then I rest for 30 seconds before I move to the next movement.
Right. That's right.
And that's where people, I think, are coming to this realization that your rest time because of your unbroken activity is equal to or greater than what would have occurred had you just broken into parts or even done singles.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. This will be fun for me to try a different way, to go back and look at video review. Let's say I get the same score or barely improve. And I go, I did 6'4 chest to bars and I didn't improve and I did 10 singles.
Right.
Like, but it's also like, let's test some strengths and weaknesses and test some fitness.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to go to a place you don't want to go.
Well, and it's good to hear that Nick doesn't record himself simply for the ability to put it on Instagram. He actually goes back through his video and breaks down his performance to ensure that he maximizes his
L4
as he approaches his L4. Yeah. Right.
Well, I truly do that. I mean, it's as much people they kind of big math guy. I mean, it's kind of some math and strategy.
It's game tape.
Look in your
game film. Yeah.
Like Rowden was like, He wanted to go really sub 12. That was his goal. Well, I think after he did it, he realized he doesn't have sub 12. But he was going to go back and review his tape and say, okay, 13:38, do I have a minute in there?
Right.
Do I have 45 seconds in there? Which he rested a little bit more than he should have. Then he decides, do I want to redo it?
Right.
His score is great either way.
Yeah. All right. So, Lori, are you going to redo?
No, because I'm pretty sure. And, in fact, I was putting my score in to see what percentage I was, but – Pretty sure going to the next round, so I'll save the energy for that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Nick?
Yep, I'm redo Monday. We're leaving for spring break Monday, so I'm going to come in Monday morning, probably after 8:30 class, and give it one go. And,
all right, give it a shot.
And I'm okay with my first score, too. Yeah. That's the benefit, too. When you have a score that you're not completely 100% okay with, but you're content, and I know I'm going to make quarterfinals.
Right.
It's like, this is just me versus me.
So let's talk about going to the next phase for a minute. So, in this year, first time, they're, instead of the top 10% moving on, it's now the top 25% moving on. Does that change how you view or engage in the open, knowing that a lesser score still puts you to the next round? Does it disincentivize, one of those two.
Correct.
You to push harder to try to get to that next round?
I think it kind of does, but I think it also, I heard Rich Froning on a podcast, it takes the stress out of the athletes.
Okay.
It's like, and they can enjoy the community is actually his words.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I thought that was a great point in that if me and Lori are trying to sniff the 10%, which we, I've always kind of been around the cusp, she's been comfortably in it, and I'm thinking redos and all this and strategy, I am not getting to enjoy the whole 3 weeks of what some of the stuff, like the Thursday night throwdowns, dressing up, all that stuff, because now it's putting too much pressure on, I need to make that 10%. I have to eat, sleep, drink properly to do everything right. Now it's going, okay, I can redo or not redo. Now, personally, I'm at 88% right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've never missed the top 10. So it's like, I kind of want to just still be in the 10 for me, but it takes the pressure off. 88's good.
Yeah.
And I can move on.
Yeah.
And I think it allows other athletes to really focus on some goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've been the 74th percentile for years.
Right.
And now they have this 1% better to get to a next stage.
Well, it just shifts it, right? So you had a smaller group of people that were on the cusp of the top 10%.
Yep.
Now you've got a much bigger group of people that are on the cusp of the top 25%.
Yep.
Right? So I think it broadens the base of enthusiasm to push to a higher level. You know, people are criticizing, I've heard criticisms of CrossFit it being a money grab, you know, because you have to pay to qualify again.
Pay to play.
Pay to play to the next round.
But that's everything.
But that's everything, right? That to criticize CrossFit for making money.
Yeah. Right.
This is a for-profit venture.
Yep.
There's an attempt to make profit ensures viability long term. Hey, I'm a business owner. Trust me, we need profit.
And it's going to better the sport.
And it'll better the sport.
CrossFit had a couple black eyes in the last few years, right. And I think this is going to advance it into what are we going to do next? Kind of to highlight the previous 3 weeks real quick, I think this is our open. I think our open going forward is very basic. We did not see a strength. Right. We did not have to go to a max lift, which we were pretty confident in some of our previous podcasts that we would see an A and a B.
Right.
And here we are. We had just 3 scores, 3 weeks.
It would have been awesome to have a strength after this one.
It would have been awesome. It would have been painful. How?
It would have been because you're under complete fatigue.
No.
And so you really have to pull dangerous. It out. It could have been dangerous.
No.
Because this was not maybe the one to do it. No. But that would have been just rude and disrespectful.
I think it would have been great.
But think about that. As a strength being not in there, and that would have been 25% of our score at 4 scores.
Yeah.
That takes a whole different athlete, and I think there's some athletes that I know that were looking so forward to a strength to boost them up on this leaderboard.
Right.
I think now you almost have to regroup and go, this is CrossFit. Maybe you don't need to do a 315-pound clean and jerk and maybe work on doing 4 unbroken muscle-ups or something of that nature and kind of take your philosophies into a different form of fitness to advance you, not relying on just one strength.
Well, and what could happen is we have all these prognostications for this year, only next year to be a completely different approach and different set of athletes that they're targeting.
But I think they're going to go into more the semi or the quarters and semis with different high skill, and there will be a strength, maybe 2 strengths.
Well, what I see is they're broadening the appeal, right? We have a very broad group of people at our gym. We had over 70 people sign up for the open.
Yeah.
Which was impressive. I think we're number one in the state.
Paul Revere said as of last week, we had 80.
80. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're over 80 sign up for the open. Everybody was enthusiastic about it. There wasn't anybody that was looking at the workout saying that was horrible. I shouldn't have paid. I shouldn't have done this. They were all willing to give it a shot. And so I think that speaks volumes to making sure that CrossFit maintains a sense of approachability. I can still do these things. It's still there. And you know, the majority, many, in fact, more than half probably of the people that signed up for the open aren't CrossFit athletes.
Right.
They're our boot camp group.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know, we have 2 simultaneous classes every day, boot camp, CrossFit. Similar in their approach and class structure. Boot camp is just a little less intense. You know, we're less emphasis on the scoring, we're less emphasis on the push, with a little more emphasis on the strength, but they're doing the same thing.
And not some of the high skill stuff.
The high skill stuff, right? Yeah. We're not focusing on the high skill stuff, but it's the same stuff. And I think a lot of our boot camp athletes came to that realization over the last 3 weeks that, wow, we really are doing the same things.
Well, their endurance will
There is no question.
Boot camp that endurance is much. Todd Stevens is a testament to that. He started boot camp. Now he's killing it.
There's no question when that workout came out that everyone in your boot camp knew what a thruster was and knew what a chest bar was.
Yeah.
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 And can probably do them. Of some sort. Maybe they said, okay, what's a chest bar? You're like, well, that's a glorified pull up. I mean, you're going higher. But I'm sure they've done thrusters. And so that makes it very all inclusive for that first part. And I think that's an example of kind of the progression. They threw the bar muscle up in there to let people get through the first five rounds, get you a little minute rest, just there to piss you off. And then maybe like a Lane Stafford, who has bar muscle ups now, he want that one.
Yeah, he wanted it.
And there'll be so many athletes that get that first muscle up in this. And that is exciting to me. Yeah. Yeah. They worked their way. They timed it right. And I'll tell a funny story. Lane yesterday, he was like, you might see me redo this afternoon. He did it Thursday night, and he was almost talking about doing it Friday afternoon. He's driving to Austin today for spring break. He's planning on dropping in the gym on Monday. Strange box, strangers, and attacking this as a redo. And I was like, he's in. And he said, I'll never see him again. I said, you will not realize that there's
going
to be
like
athletes
you.
In there just like you
right.
and will push you. And maybe you're even going head to head with a guy in a redo that you get a little further than him. That's the beauty of CrossFit. Not everybody is going to be sitting there just banging out muscle ups.
Well, and I think that's what we hope. We hope everybody takes away from these last 3 weeks. Is that everyone is on a different level. Everyone cheers everyone on. Mm-hmm. It's all about how do we create an environment that fosters health and fitness, that promotes it. You know, we can sit around on the couch and cheer a sporting event that we would never have the chance to play, or we can go show up and cheer on our fellow athletes and know I'm about to do that workout tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just fun. That's exciting.
Or I'm 1 year in. And he's 5 years in, and I want to get there.
Yeah, it's inspirational, right? It has opportunity. And I think Joe Gossett yesterday he posted something about he started at the open season last year, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmed. I think his first workout was one of our open workouts. And, you know, he's like, I didn't know what was going on. And now, you know, he's dressed better than everyone else. Yes. He's all in. He's posting. And I think that's the example of that CrossFit truly is. Available to everyone. It's all about your mindset. It's all about what you allow yourself or tell yourself about what you think you can or can't do.
That's right.
And if you can get through that and just allow it to just surround you with great people and great ideas, then it'll change your life.
Well, and I think we struggle with mental battles every day in whatever it may be, your family life, your career. So pushing yourself to a spot that you don't like to physically, I think helps you handle those situations. You know, this week our pop-up challenge is about show us how what you do in the gym helps you somewhere else with confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a prime example. There is not one sales call I make or anything that I know that I can't handle because I just went through some pain that no one else will go through.
Right.
You know, and just having that to go, I can do this. This is nothing compared to some of the other stuff I've done. Yeah. I think that is what really, for me personally, I enjoy and kind of the I can do hard things. Lane Stafford, he said his word was uncomfortable for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example of getting to a spot that you're uncomfortable and being able to overcome that.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, it's kind of my tagline, is I will always say, CrossFit finds you when you need it the most.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, it's true. All right, guys, so we're wrapping up the season. We're having our big party on Sunday. We've got a big barbecue. We're going to do some cornhole.
Lori's going to have to eat all the hot wings.
Yeah, and just for everybody out there, we had four teams in the gym. The entire gym was broken into four groups of about 40, 45 people each. The losing coaches are having to eat very hot wings. Think of the show, the hot wings show guy that does that.
Yeah. Love that. We'll have milk standing by.
And we're
going
to have a little milk standing by, but yep, they're going to have to eat some hot wings.
I mean, there's basically three teams that were fairly competitive and one team that cheated. So whatever.
Hey, don't make it worse on us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're the first loser, right?
We are.
So we're technically.
You probably only have to eat one wing.
I actually like hot stuff, but I'm for some reason never been a hot wing guy.
Yeah, well, they're hot.
I don't like spicy at all. I don't even like pepper. Like, oh, I don't expect
you don't like
at all.
Black pepper,
right? Yeah.
Wow.
So it's gonna be
Lori's in for a shock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and just, you know, being able to talk about these events and these open events. We're looking forward to seeing you guys at the quarters. We may check in during the quarters and see the progress and all the other folks in the gym that make it. We'll check back in, throw out another podcast, and give everybody an update on what's going on. So for Nick Holder, Lori Webb, I'm Phil Forrester. Thanks so much for joining the RCCF podcast.